Let's go ahead and stand tonight in honor of God's Word. And we have seen the death of Saul now, and now we're going to see David come to the throne of Israel. He is not going to be it's going to be a civil war. It's going to be 7 years he's going to be in Hebron before he will go to Jerusalem and unite the kingdom. But the Bible, I want to preach on this subject tonight, the will of God for our life. Because David gives us a great example of the will of God. It was the will of God for David to be the king. But it was in God's timing and in God's way. And maybe not when Samuel came there and David was just a shepherd boy, that when Samuel anointed him to be the king of Israel. You know, when God moves in a situation like that, he had no idea what it was going to take for him to finally be the king of Israel. Even though God said, you're going to be the king of Israel, you're a man after mine own heart, doesn't mean that David did not sin, that doesn't mean that David did not have issues and problems even while he was on the run. We've seen that several times in going to Ziklag and going to Moab. We saw that. We'll note that he'll have trouble with his children. He'll have trouble in the adultery with Bathsheba. But if you look at the overall picture of David, the Bible says something like this over in the book of Acts chapter 13. When David had served God's purpose in his own generation, he fell asleep and was buried with his fathers. And so even though David is like us in that we're all sinners, he still had a heart for God. And if you can have a heart for God and do the will of God, you're headed in the right direction. Doesn't mean you're perfect. Doesn't mean you don't have problems and flaws and things will happen. But I would pray that when we end our life, that people would say he had a heart for God. He wanted to do the will of God. And so I want to read a couple of verses here. 2 Samuel chapter 2. And it came to pass after this. And of course, this is after the mourning of Saul, after the death of Saul, and then the mourning. David did a fabulous job of mourning Saul and Jonathan. And it came to pass after this that David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I go up into any of the cities of Judah? And the Lord said unto him, go up. And David said, whither shall I go up? And he said, unto Hebron. So David went thither, and his two wives also, Ahinoam the Jezreelite and Abigail, Nabal's wife, the Carmelite, and his men that were with him did David bring up, every man with his household, and they dwelt in the cities of Hebron. And the men of Judah came, and there they anointed David king over the house of Judah. And they told David, saying that the men of Jabesh-Gilead were they that buried Saul. And David sent messengers unto the men of Jabesh-Gilead and said unto them, blessed be ye of the Lord, that ye have showed this kindness unto your Lord, even unto Saul, and have buried him. And now the Lord show kindness and truth unto you, and I also will requite you this kindness, because you have done this thing. Therefore now let your hands be strengthened, and be ye valiant. For your master Saul is dead, and also the house of Judah have anointed me king over them. Now we're going to see in the story Saul, his son Ish-bosheth is going to be anointed, but God did not anoint Ish-bosheth to be the king. He anointed David. So I just want to look at this idea a little bit for just a few minutes concerning David, the will of God. And folks, we need to know the will of God for our life. Now, here's what we know this. We know that it is the will of God for everybody to be saved. Amen. It is the will of God for people to be baptized. It is the will of God to identify with one of the Lord's churches. Amen. It is the will of God that we tithe and that we witness. Those are all the will of God. Amen. But sometimes the will of God can be difficult. But if we follow God and we follow the Word of God, he's never going to take us contrary to the Word of God. So let's look at this tonight as God would help us. Lord, I thank you tonight for, Lord, that we can know the will of God through the Word of God. And that David sought the face of God, just like he did when it was to go to Ziklag or when it was to go away from Ziklag and to fight the Amalekites. We know that David followed the will of God much of his life, but we also know that he got outside of God's will on several occasions by going into the land of Moab and then going into the land of the Philistines, and we see that. And we see that David will understand the will of God to go to Hebron. He will understand that God wants him to be king. He will understand many things, Lord, but there will be times when he will go outside of the will of God. And there is no excuse for that, for him or for us. But Lord, in all of that, David was a man that did seek after God's heart. That's why God chose him to be king. God, would you help us tonight as we look at this story once again? In Christ's name that we ask, amen. You may be seated. I think about David, that overall, I think about the overall aspect of David. And when I do that, I think about what Acts chapter 13 said, that David served God's purpose in his own generation. We only have our generation to serve God. And the Bible speaks very well of David after he serves Israel as king for 40 years and he dies. We understand that. We also could understand things like when it says about David and Solomon, that Solomon, in 1 Kings 11:4, it says this, that Solomon's heart was not fully devoted to the Lord his God as the heart of David his father had been. So even though that David is going to have his failures and David is going to have problems with his family, there's no doubt about that. By the way, to marry more than one wife is not the will of God. I don't care if you're Abraham or if you're David. It doesn't matter. Those are going to be things. If you think about Abraham, the Bible says about Abraham, he was the friend of God. And he followed the will of God, but he got outside of the will of God when he took Hagar to be his wife in the sense that he gave us Ishmael. Sorry, my mind just went, I'm glad that's never happened to you. So even though that Abraham was the father of the Jewish nation, and on every occasion you read about Abraham being a man of faith, and Abraham taking his son Isaac on Mount Moriah and willing to sacrifice him if that's what God wanted, that was a man of faith, and that was a man that followed God. But yet, by the taking of Hagar, he messed everything up. It was not God's will for Abraham to do that. It was not God's will for David to take more than one wife. How do we know that? Because the Bible makes that very, very clear. Well, Pastor, why do all of these kings, and why did they take them more than one wife? And why did Solomon? Because they were outside of the will of God. They wanted to be like other nations. They wanted to be like other people. And those things, once you get outside of the will of God in any instance like that, it's not going to be good. But if you look at David, even though he did that, even though he failed miserably with his children, he failed miserably in the adultery with Bathsheba. He did wrong by taking that more than one wife. He did wrong by going to Moab. He did wrong by going into the Philistines. But before we condemn David, let's be honest with ourselves. We've went outside of the will of God. Amen. On numerous occasions in our life. Why? Because we're sinners. But the one thing that we can understand about David is that God said that overall, that he did God's will in the sense that he was a man after God's own heart. He served God's purpose in his own generation, and he fell asleep and was buried with his father. So I do believe that God speaks of David after he serves as king for 40 years and dies. And the epithet, if we could put it that way, is his heart was devoted to God. His heart was devoted to God. He served God's purpose in his generation. And how wonderful that God did not judge David by his sins or even by his worst sin with Bathsheba and even the murder of Uriah, but by the general tenor of his life, God said through the Bible that he served God's purpose. He was a good, godly man in spite of sinful and stupid acts, even those in his fugitive years. And then those things that will happen in his kingly years. The Bible is very good about showing us all the warts. But let me just tell you something about the grace of God and the mercy of God tonight. God doesn't always look at the warts as much as He looks at the heart. There is no excuse and there is no license to sin. And we will see on every occasion that David will pay dearly for his sins. Most of his sorrows in his life are going to come from sins or going outside of the will of God. So as we start tonight in 2 Samuel 2, we're starting the years of David as the king. Now, when David becomes the king, it has been a long journey to get to where David is the king. There's a lot of tribulation, a lot of trouble, a lot of sorrow, a lot of maybe misunderstanding, cannot figure out the life of Saul and all that goes with that. But here's what we're going to find out. For seven years, David is going to serve as king over Judah in the city of Hebron. And after 7 years, the kingdom of Israel and Judah are going to be united, and David will set up the kingship in the city of David, or as we know it, the city of God, which is Jerusalem. And there David will serve for 33 years, and at the age of 70, he goes on the throne at the age of 30, and he dies at the age of 70. So David has been on the run. He has been in exile, a fugitive, anywhere between, and we've tried to piece it together the best we can, anywhere between 12 and 15 years. So imagine with me tonight that as a teenager, David is on the run until he's 30 years old. Now, David is going to have fame. He's going to have achievements. He's going to have purpose. But I'm telling you, our world worships success. I worship success. We should worship God. Amen. And the will of God. You know, if you thought about if David was in the yearbook, if I can put it like that, remember your high school yearbook? Do they still do that? I don't even know. College yearbook, high school yearbook. They always have most likely to succeed. David might have been in that part. He probably would have been on page one as the giant killer in his teens. The war hero in his 20s, guerrilla fighter in his 20s. Now, at the age of 30, he becomes king. And what a job he did. I want you to understand something about David when it came to him being the king. He took a country overrun by the Philistines, torn by civil war, and made it one of the foremost nations in the world. By the time that Solomon becomes the king, Israel is the prominent society or kingdom, if you want to put it like that, not just in all the world, overcoming all kingdoms, even Egypt. But those things are, while all those things are important, we're going to find good examples of David and bad examples of David. But I'm going to tell you right now, if you want to truly be happy in the Lord, you got to follow the will of God. I believe it's God's will. I know it's God's will for us to be saved. I know it's God's will for us to be a member of a local New Testament Baptist church. I know it's God's will for us to be a Christian in a society that's dark. It is God's will for David to be king of Israel. I believe it is God's will for me to be the pastor of Berean Baptist Church. I believe it was God's will that when He called me to preach that I didn't understand all of that. And sometimes when God does something in the early, when God calls a person to be a missionary or God calls a person to be a pastor or God calls a person to whatever occupation it is, it doesn't happen overnight. One of the things that I am reminded of is if a person really feels like they're supposed to be a jet pilot of an F-16. I mean, they may have been thinking of that since they were playing Minecraft when they were 4 years old. And they were flying planes on a Xbox. And they think that this is what I want to do. And so rather than going to a university, they want to go to the Air Force Academy. And they get an appointment to the academy. And they go there and they begin to study and train for 4 years or 5 years. And after that 5 years, and after they get a commission, they don't put them in an F-16. In fact, from the time that you go into the Air Force till the time that you're actually in the cockpit of an F-16 is somewhere around 12 years before you're ever allowed to take one of those babies out on flight by yourself. That's a lot of training. What do I say to say that? Well, that's about the exact amount, same time that David was in training for him to be king. David learned how to be a king being the leader of 600 men that were a ragtag group of people. David learned how to be a king under the stars. David learned how to trust God. David wrote the Psalms. And there was times that I believe David was probably what we might call clinically depressed. Read some of his Psalms and what he wrote and how he wrote it. But can I say to you, God never left him. God never forsook him. What God was doing was training him to one day be the king. So after mourning the death of Saul in a respectful manner, the next item on David's agenda is to ascend to the throne. His fugitive years are now over, and you might say David has come a long way from being a shepherd of his father's flock to the place where he's going to be on the throne of Israel. And oh, by the way, it was not like that they all were ready for David to be king. Only one tribe in the beginning was ready for David to be king, and that was the tribe of Judah. David has gone through quite a bit. Everything that he's gone through is for a reason. He's been hated by Saul. He's been tracked down by Saul. He's had spears thrown at him. He's been run out of town. He's been hunted like a dog. And God said, every aspect of your training for the last 12 to 14 years is, David, I want you to be the king of Israel. When God calls us to an honorable and privileged position of responsibility, you can be really sure that God will give us the training for the task. The training may take years, it may be very tough at times, but without preparation, pride or ego will get in the way and cloud your judgment. Can I say to you, sometimes God has a way. If we think we're something, He shows us that we really are nothing. God has a way of humbling us if He needs to. But I want you to notice with me in verse 1, these are just some things that we need to look at tonight. The seeking of God's will. I like this. Now, I want you to think about where David is. David has had to encourage himself in the Lord. He had to seek the ephod. Should I pursue? And then when he pursued the Amalekites, he didn't even know where the Amalekites were. So God said, I'll take care of that. I'll have a servant of the Amalekites to be sick. He'll be laying there waiting for you, and you can find out where they're at. So David sought the will of God. Has David always sought the will of God? Not always, but notice in verse 1, it comes to pass that after this, that David inquired of the Lord, said, Lord, is it time now? Should I go to one of the cities of Judah? And the Lord said, yes, David, now is the time. Go up. And David said, okay, well, where do you want me to go? And now I want you to notice, he didn't send him straight to Jerusalem. He sent him to Hebron. Because really he has 7 more years. He's going to have to learn how to lead one tribe before he leads all the tribes. I think that's very important. But I want you to understand, the first action in finding the will of God is prayer. Recently, I've been reading this book about the resilient pastor. And it's a very good book. Brother Boonstra was the one that asked me to read it. Maybe he thought I need some resiliency. I don't know. But it goes. The book is about all the reasons why pastors quit and the problems that they go through and how they go through different seasons of life and all of that kind of stuff. And one of the things that caught my attention, and I'm just thinking this is awesome, is that if you try to pastor in the flesh, you're always going to be disappointed. But if you pastor people in the overflow of your relationship with God, you'll be able to pastor a church. And I thought, man, that was convicting. So in other words, but if the pastor needs to be in tune with God, and the pastor needs to worship God, and the pastor needs to have a personal walk with God, so do you. There's no person. We should all be doing ministry and being a servant in the overflow that we have in our relationship with God. Absolutely. David sought God by saying, God, is now the time? God, do you want me to move on now? Yes, David, where do you want me to go? Do you want me to go? He didn't presume where he was supposed to go. He said, Lord, where do you want me to go? And God said, I want you to go to Hebron. Now, I want to say this. The best guidance in finding the will of God is this. The Word of God and prayer. Praise God for godly people who we have around us to give counsel. But the number one counsel in seeking the will of God for your life is prayer and the Bible. And by the way, you can't go wrong in prayer and the Bible. Men will usually look everywhere else, and that's where a man gets into trouble. Paul told the Ephesians in Ephesians 5, wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. You may have worldly wisdom, but if you don't have knowledge that comes from God's Word, you'll be unwise. I believe reading the Proverbs every month is very, very profitable. And if you'll ask God, show me something, He will. Seek the Lord. You want to know what the beginning of knowledge is? You want to begin to know? Fear of the Lord. You want to know what the wisdom of God is? Fear God. You may have some kind of worldly wisdom, but you need God's wisdom. The greatest education that you and I can have in your life is knowing God's particular will for your life. The greatest education, and by the way, the will of God will never go against the Word of God. Amen. You know how many times I've had people call me and they want me to agree with a decision that they've already made, but they never sought God in any way. They never sought the will of God. They never sought the Word of God. They never sought God in prayer. They just wanted me to agree with what they were going to do. And by the way, sometimes you have to wait. Sometimes you have to wait. David did not get ahead of God, but rather he inquired to what he should do. Did David know what it was God? Listen to this. Do you believe that David knew that it was God's will for him to be king? Yes. Samuel came and anointed him as a young adolescent or teenager, we might say. And I mean, tell you, you're talking about something that could swell your head up, that would be it. But when you're on the run from Saul, there's no head swelling. I mean, killing the... And by the way, David's heart was pure when he killed Goliath. Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? Is there not a cause? Is somebody not going to do something about this? David did. David did. But for many years, David was on the run. You know, when think about this. In chapter 1... I'm sorry, 2 Samuel chapter 2, verse 1. When David inquires of the Lord for the will of God, do you realize that he's in Ziklag? Ziklag wasn't a great place of good memories. It was a place of bad memories and desolation. It was a place where David had to encourage himself in the Lord. But you know what? He didn't leave until he knew where God wanted him to go. Don't be so anxious to jump ahead of God just because you think the place that you're in right now seems to be desolate. Wait upon the Lord and move when God says to move. David began to learn the will of God. He said, and the Lord said, go up. And David said, whither shall I go? And he said, I want you to go to Hebron. So David went thither and took with him his wives and his men. Verse number 3. These men that had followed him were with him, and David bring up every man with his household, and they dwelt in the cities of Hebron. There's a process in learning the will of God for your life. The will of God was revealed to David like this, one step at a time. First, he was told to leave Ziklag, go up. Then he was told where to go, to Hebron. Why do you think you have to go to school for 12 years? Well, some of us have to go longer. That third grade was a couple of the best years of my life. I'm just kidding. Why do we have to go to school for 12 years, young people say? I don't know about you, but I had to ride a bus to school. And I lived a pretty good ways from where I lived to where our elementary school was. Later on, when we moved, my junior high school and high school was not as far. But when I was in elementary school, my 6 years of elementary school, I had like a 45-minute to an hour bus ride. One way to get to school and one way to get back. Basically, 2 hours of the day were spent on the bus. And to me, that was grueling. This is a waste of time. Can't somebody come pick me up? I don't know. But no, I rode that bus. And I remember in the sixth grade, I'd been doing this for 6 years. I was about tired of it, riding that bus for 6 years. I remember sitting on that bus and looking out, and I saw those people in those cars. And I thought, man, here I am in this prison. Them people are free. They can go wherever they want. They can do whatever. Little did I know, those people might have been in the depths of despair for all I know. But I just kept thinking, man, only 6 more years. Now I look back and go, man, I'd like to get back in prison on that bus. But that's not going to happen. Why do you have to go to school for 12 years before you graduate high school? And by the way, you know how you learn in school? One grade at a time. Did you know that you cannot go to the fourth grade until you finish the third grade? And if you have to do the third grade twice to get to the fourth grade, so be it. You know why? Because there's a learning process. And I'll tell you this. You kids need to do your schoolwork well. And you need to learn them participles and adverbs, and you need to learn how to do math. And I, that's another thing. I used to say, why we have calculators? Why do we need to learn to do math? Well, you need to learn to do math. One step at a time. When God called me to preach, whatever your occupation is. But God called me to preach. But when He called me to preach, I didn't become a pastor the next day. There was a lot of prepping, training, seeking the will of God, and in the middle of all that, still raising your family. And I realized right off that your family needs to eat. They like food and all that kind of stuff. But God leads us one step at a time. You know why? You know why God leads us one step at a time? You know what? One day at a time, 1 year at a time. You know what that promotes? Faith. It promotes faith. Because God says, are you going to believe me? David, are you going to believe me that you're going to be the king? I didn't sleep outside from the ages of 17 to 30. I didn't live in a tent outside. I didn't live in caves, dwell in dens of caves. I did not lead 600 men at the age of 25 and 26 years old. Did you? David, do you still believe that you're going to be king? You know what God did with David? He taught him how to be a man of faith. Those who live by flesh rather than by faith will not do very well learning the will of God. David is no longer looking for God's will while suffering, but now he's going to seek the will of God by succeeding. There is sometimes where we can get in big trouble when we seek the Lord. Now, let me just give you something. Let me give you this. In adversity, we tend to depend on God in adversity. But in success, we tend to depend on ourselves. You know, sometimes everything is going good, everything is going well, and we begin to think, wow, look what I've done. No. You better be very careful, because God can put you back in adversity so that He can humble you. In adversity, we tend to be humble. And in success, we tend to have a haughty spirit. In adversity, we are confident in the Lord. And in success, we can become arrogant or cocky. In adversity, we look up to God, and in success, we might look down on others. David does not respond to his opportunity and promotion in a wrong way. No, praise God. Listen to this. He seeks God. God, what do you want me to do now? David has been humbled. David had to encourage himself in the Lord. Isn't it amazing that it wasn't that long ago that a bunch of guys were willing to throw stones at him and kill him? And now in verse number 3, the Bible says of chapter 2, verse 3, and his men that were with him did David bring up, and every man with his household, and they dwelt in the cities of Hebron. Not only do we progress in learning God's will for our life, but we also need to have persistence in learning the will of God. Doesn't matter how old you are. You could be in your 80s, and God may have something still, his will for your life to do something maybe that you've never done. I don't know, but the point is don't ever retire yourself from the will of God. Amen. No matter how old you are. After the first request, he had to ask a second time to find the specific place God wanted him to go, and God said Hebron. If you've been reading in your Bible reading in the book of Genesis, this was the place of Abraham. This was the place where Abraham was. David was put back in the place where Abraham came into the land. Many times, and here's another thing we need to understand about the will of God. Many times God will give us general directions, but not specific directions. Lord, do you want to get me to get married? That's what a lot of people are praying. He may say yes, but then it may take a while before he tells you who. Lord, do you want me to be a preacher? He may say yes, but it may be a long time before he ever tells you where you'll go. James chapter 1 verse 4 says, but let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. So I believe that something tonight, I believe through David's life, that he sought the will of God, he learned the will of God, and then he did the will of God. When you seek the will of God and you find out what God is that God wants you to do, you simply need to follow God's directions. The Bible tells us here that David went up hither. He said, go up to Hebron. It was prompted because as soon as God said Hebron, I like this, David went. He did not delay to do something else. Can I say this, that to delay in obedience is actually to disobey? I know, because I've been there. And probably many of you have also. If you want God's blessings without delay, then you need to obey without delay. And this benefited his family and his followers. You know, we're going to journey through David's, we've journeyed through David's life. And for a long time, we've been in the fugitive years, the difficult years. But David now is going to, and is David going to do everything right? No, I don't think so. I don't think by taking more wives that's going to help him in the ministry or in the being a king. That's not going to help him whatsoever. I believe he becomes passive when it comes to Joab. I think he puts things off on Joab that he should be doing himself. I think that the Bible says when kings go forth to battle, David stayed at home. But you know, the Bible says in the New Testament that the Old Testament is for our ensample, whether it's good or whether it's bad. But here's what I do believe. We need to be willing to seek God through the Word and through prayer. I'm talking about in the closet. We need to learn what God wants us to do. And even though it might be a process, we need to be persistent. And then when God makes it very clear what we're to do, we're to obey without delay. And I do believe that the blessings will far be above what we expect. We serve a great God. And God is good. But it must be done inside of His will. Let's stand tonight. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Lord, help us tonight as we just kind of did an overview of David in verse number 1. As he followed the will of God by going to Hebron. He knew that he was going to be king one day. He was very understanding of that, how that would take place, where that would take place, what would be the process. He had no idea. But now he will be the king. And God, I pray that you would help us through the days of his kingship. And there's going to be some good days and there's going to be some bad days, kind of like our life. But Lord, I want to think about what the Bible said in the book of Acts, that he served God's purpose and he served his generation and that he was a man after God's own heart. Oh God, help us tonight. David sinned, but David also repented. David did wrong, but David still served God. Lord, help us today to have a heart turned toward you. God, help us to serve our generation by doing God's purpose or God's will. In Christ's name we ask. Let's have every head bowed, every eye closed. And I'm going to ask the piano, the organ just to play. And the invitation tonight is this, young people, listen. The will of God for your life. The will of God. Follow the Bible. Learn how to have a relationship with God early so that when God calls and speaks and tells you to do something, you will immediately follow Him. Sometimes He doesn't get specific, but we do know there's certain things in the Bible we know are God's will. It is God's will that not any should perish. Have you ever sought the will of God in prayer through the Bible? David said, Lord, is it time? And he said, yes. Shall I go? And God said, yes. Where should I go, Hebron? It's been good to be in the Lord's house. Pray for our church family. Let's pray for all those that are sick. And Mary Garrison, pray for her. She'll have hip replacement surgery. Pray for Sharon Reemsnyder. She's going to have a biopsy this week. Pray for Brother Don Hindemeister. Sandra said she got to visit with him this afternoon, and they're trying to get his medication, hopefully, where he'll be able to go home very soon. So pray for those. Get a prayer list and make sure you pray for all of these things. All right. Well, let's be dismissed in a word of prayer. And we'll ask Brother Buck Shrope if he'll dismiss us, please.